Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Christine LaPerriere calling with Leader in Motion, and I'm very excited tonight to talk to you some more about business and alignment and values and that dreaded word, spirituality. First things first, I'll just mention here that we have moved my show to a different time, which is really convenient for me. I'm going to be on at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday evenings, which is also 4 p.m. Pacific Standard. So please note that adjustment and come visit me on Tuesday evenings. For those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, Leader in Motion is a radio show that's helping us facilitate a conversation about how to remain authentic in the workplace, how to approach new ways of thinking about office drama, thinking about this crazy thing we call work, this crazy environment with all of these people and politics and competition. As we're approaching those, how can we approach those from a really loving and rooted place where we have the least stress and we're the most connected to our core value system or our core purpose? That's really generally the purpose of the show. And for me, it's a lot about facilitating those conversations, getting people to start talking about this, because I think that people are thinking about it, but we're still scared to talk about what it might actually look like in the workplace. Each week, there's going to be a different theme. We're going to have some interviews with different people from all types of different working environments. So I'm hoping to have conversations with administrative assistants all the way up to the CEO and president of different companies. The idea is to really, I want to spot those people who, when you work with them, they really inspire you or they really make you feel good. Think about it. In your workplace, there were just, you know, the average run-of-the-mill, everybody's, you know, in there and they're working, but there's one person that kind of stands out as maybe always coming to work with a big, giant smile on his face, or that leader who always seems to do such a great job navigating really complicated decisions. Somehow, you know, you'll come into his office and you'll have what you think is a impossible situation on your hands, and he does an amazing job approaching it and solving it in a way that makes everyone feel pretty good with the outcome and feel that they were heard and that they still feel motivated the next day to come in and keep working. I really want to go after those types of people, the people that stand out in my mind. Is just, there's something different about them. There's something special about the energy that they bring to the workplace, and I want to interview them and find out what it is that goes on in their mind and in their head when they come to work every day. Today's working world, as everyone knows, is very challenging, very profit-driven, very competitive, very political. And for me, particularly, the reason that I care about this is that in my own professional experience, this, I was so motivated and so excited to contribute in these working environments, but I also felt myself under intense amounts of stress. And the more, everyone that I know pretty much will raise their glass to that. Yes, you know what? We're all under intense amounts of stress. I'd love to see a working world where maybe we come home with more smiles on our face at the end of the day and actually have more energy left over for our families and our friends, and we don't feel so drained by the day-to-day office drama. A little bit about me. Again, my name is Christine LaPerriere. My background is in engineering. I have an undergrad and master's degree in design engineering, and I worked in automotive when I started my career. After 8 years, I left, joined management consulting firm, and had the opportunity to be a manager as well as a consultant for many different companies that were looking to improve productivity of large organizations. In that work as well, obviously I got some really good experience managing people, and I also started to really learn and understand sales and business development. In 2008, I went on my own and started a company called Leader in Motion, where I'm a channel partner for Miller Hyman, which is a sales improvement methodology, and I've been working with companies to help them with their people and their process. One of the things that's interesting about the work that I've done thus far is that I really do believe it's all about people, and what people believe when they show up and they come to work is a lot of the catalyst for a winning and healthy environment versus a tense and stressful environment. So you'll see that every week there's this reoccurring theme about what are some of the belief systems of people that are in those working environments. Today I do a lot of selling, coaching, consulting, and process work. And if you ever want to learn more about me, check out my website. I'm on www.leaderinmotion.com, and I'm also on LinkedIn at Christine LePerrière. So feel free to look me up and learn more. As I mentioned, the reason that I'm doing this show is that my professional background linked with my passion for self-help and spirituality and belief systems, neuro-linguistic programming, gestalt psychotherapy, all these things, I was working on these things in my free time, having a lot of fun with them, and trying to cross-pollinate them to my own professional world, and I found that they don't always cross-pollinate very well. So, as I like to say, I'm not an expert in this topic, but I'm definitely an enthusiast. And I know from my own experience that the business world and, let's say, the self-help, spiritual and very principle-based world, those two can collide quite a bit. This week's theme, what I wanted to talk about this week, was power of intention. And I'll explain to you a little bit about why I got that idea for this week's particular theme. It actually stemmed from a conversation that I had with a friend after my show last week with Michelle Arbeau. So last week, Michelle Arbeau was on the show, and she was talking about her experience as being a people pleaser and how she found that in her working experience, she had a very difficult time saying no. She had a very difficult time speaking her truth, and she felt many times like she was pretending to fit in. And she just shared with us a very simple concept of speaking your truth. I thought this was fantastic. It was really a great way to start this conversation. Speaking your truth is definitely, I think, a core value that most leaders would tell you is a requirement for a healthy, aligned, purposeful career. So this conversation starts at that point. But what was so interesting about it, I was thinking about how to build on that. And I had a handful of different ideas, and I was playing around with them and doing some brainstorming and couldn't really come up with what was the right way to build on that concept. So I was asking a friend, actually, to listen to my show with me on the Blog Talk Radio archives. He's a vice president of sales. He manages a few people, and he works in a very intense and competitive environment. As we were listening to the show, he had an aha moment. And what's so amazing is that this man is a fantastic professional, very successful, and in my opinion, I didn't think speaking my truth was going to be a theme that would really stand out to him, because in my opinion, he must already have that principle absolutely licked, right? So I thought, you know what, he's not really going to get a lot out of the show, but I want him to hear it so he can hear where my starting theme is. What was so interesting is while he was listening to it, he actually turned and looked at me and went, oh my gosh, I just had an experience where I didn't speak my truth. This is really an aha moment for me. So as you can imagine, I was very surprised. I thought, really? People who, vice president of sales have been in business for 35 years, they have aha moments on speaking their truth? I think it really helped me clarify the fact that these principles and these topics, we never need to stop talking about them because they show up all the time. He was telling me a story about how his boss actually called him. He manages a few salespeople himself, and his boss had called him and was complaining about the fact that a few of his people weren't hitting their targets. And he looked at me and he said, I just wanted to avoid conflict. That was really all I wanted to do on that call, is just avoid conflict. So his boss was talking about disciplining these employees, and he said, you know what, even though I thought it was absolutely wrong and it was the wrong thing to do, I just wanted to avoid conflict. So I said, you know what, do whatever you're going to do. He had an aha moment that he wasn't speaking his truth. So to me, again, I found this fascinating. It reminds me that we all have those moments. What was even more interesting about it is that his plan, though, or his reaction to having just realized that he hadn't spoken his truth, is to walk into his boss's office the next day, and he says, I'm going to tell him what I really think. He needs to know that he's wrong. I want to repeat that because I think that's very interesting. I want to tell him what I really think because he needs to know that he's wrong. I found that so interesting because I think my aha moment was that speaking your truth, there's more to it than that. So we can remind everybody, hey, go out there and speak your truth. But will that actually help the work world? I'm going to challenge that and say it will if we add power of intention to that principle. And that's really what leads me into the conversation around intention. I think when I think of going in and speaking your truth to somebody with the intention to show that they're wrong, it's a very ego-based action. We do it all the time. How many of us have had our buttons pushed and we walk into someone's office and we're going to tell them that they are wrong? And what happens is that it's very ego-based. So now we're looking for the opportunity to win. And we've just created the energy of competition with somebody that should be hypothetically playing on the same team as us. This just reinforces competition. It reinforces stress. It starts to reinforce the divide among yourself and your colleagues and your teammates. And I think that's the part that's what really happens. For me, I had to think about this a lot because I don't have a problem speaking my truth. And in some working environments, I probably speak my truth a bit too much. So I had to really think about this as well. You know, when have I walked into someone's office with the intent to win? And how much stress did that create or add to an already challenging situation? So my question to my friend who was listening to this was, what if you had the intention for both of you to win? He thought this was an interesting idea. He actually, I could see him kind of looking and thinking, what if we both had the intention to win? What if I walked into the office with the belief system that the two of us are both playing for the same best outcome, and no matter what, We're going to share our ideas until we can come up with what we believe is truly a great way to solve this problem. Now, I know this is a bit idealistic. We've all worked with those people that are very difficult to move. But what's interesting is as we work with difficult people, our intention becomes that much more difficult. And that's what I found so interesting about it is that, you know, as my friend was thinking about his history with this person, he thought, oh, that'll never work. I need to go in with the intention to win. And I'm going, it's so interesting how you're mirroring the same type of behavior that you just detest in this other person. So, you know, we talked a lot about what it would look like if he were to approach him in a way where both parties were going to come out with a win or an improvement. We talked a little bit, I kind of played around with the idea, what if you were on a stranded island and you both had to get out alive? How would it change the environment in which you would approach each other? And I think sometimes that in the corporate world, that happens where we forget that we're all in it together. And if you're working under the same banner and you're working for the same company and you're all trying to create solid incomes and create job stability, we're all in it together. And I think many times in the working environments that I've been in, people lose sight of that we're really all in it together. So my question was, is speaking your truth enough? do you need an intention to really support that mission statement? I started asking myself about my own career. I started thinking real clearly about what were my intentions at different points in my career, especially maybe in the highs and the lows. Some of the favorite working environments versus some of the environments that were very stressful for me. And I found that intentions played a really important role in my experience of the people that I was working with. When I think of my days as a design engineer, I was very young, and I was very smart in my mind. I had this, had this great education, came right out of college, believed that I was going to conquer the world, and my intention most definitely was to get promoted to management so that I could do what I really wanted to do when I grew up. And that's very interesting because when I think about that work environment, I was doing a great job and excelling, but I found myself constantly frustrated by the pace, frustrated by the politics, and I found myself constantly lacking a lot of patience. But meanwhile, what an interesting thing in that every time that you'd come to work with me, I was just thinking about how to get to my next spot. So my intention was really probably not aligned enough with truly serving in my role in the deepest capacity possible. I think that my intention was to make sure that I did an excellent job so that I could see the next step in my career coming around the corner. It's interesting because at that time I don't think I ever had the thought of how to cross-pollinate any of the information that I was just starting to get curious about around self-help. So now I think a bit about when I was a director and a manager in management consulting. I do remember at that time I was taking Kabbalah classes, and I really set the intention that I wanted to serve my team. Really, really wanted to serve my team, and that my only goal was to empower them to be more effective in their role. It's interesting because at that point, I ended up with one of my favorite awards too was Manager of the Year, and I thought that was kind of a neat outcome when I started thinking about my intention, because I know that at that point in time my intention was very, very pure in the sense that I wanted to serve my people. The one thing that was interesting about that intention as well, though, is that it did bring conflict with people outside of my team. So at times I would be in such a mission to serve just my team that I could see conflicts arising with my own boss. I could see conflicts arising with higher levels in the organization because I was really focused on protecting that team of people and serving them, probably, serving them as a first priority. It made me think. It just made me think a little bit about what makes for a good intention when you walk in the door each day. What makes a good intention? Since I've been in business for myself, I've done a lot of selling work, and I've been delivering to my own customers. And I found that I found in the beginning I was very, very stressed. I always felt all this anxiety around needing acceptance from people, and the fear of the fear of talking to a client or talking to a prospect and them not buying a project from me. What would that mean? Did I say the wrong thing? But I found somewhere, as my spirituality kind of was starting to overlap with my business world, that I set an intention to serve customers that value my specific talents and capabilities. I'll repeat that because I think it was pretty profound when it came up for me. It was to serve customers that value my specific talents and capabilities. So what I used to do is before a meeting, whether it be a sales meeting or a client meeting, as I was driving in my car, I would repeat this in my head. My intention is to simply serve customers that value my specific talents and capabilities. And the best part about that intention is it let me let myself off the hook and that prospect off the hook if we didn't agree to do business together. It allowed me to forgive myself almost immediately if for some reason they said, you know what, we don't think it's going to work out, or we're not planning to do this. I'd go, great. My intention is to only serve customers that value my specific talents and capabilities, and that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody in the world is going to have that same perspective. So for me, this intention has been very powerful, and it's also helped me reduce stress, forgive myself when things don't go the way that I want, and really, I think they help me show up with a lot more loving kindness, I think is the right word, where I'm very genuinely interested in helping where I can, helping to serve, and I'm okay and unattached if that's just simply not in the cards for that particular relationship. So I find this topic for me is so interesting, and I would love to hear from people if they have intentions that they use to help them really show up in a very powerful way in the working environment around them. I think people do this. I think that when you're in that work world and you see there's that one guy that you look at and you say, wow, I wish I had a little bit of what he has, because, you know, he obviously has the miracle happy drug. I can tell you, I'm going to guess that he has an intention to come in with a big smile on his face every day, or he has the intention to serve those around him. There's something special about what people are thinking, I think, when they show up with that real powerful energy. What I want to do is ask you, the listener, can you think of a frustrating situation that's happening and occurring right now in your working world? Is it that your boss is asking something of you that you don't think is fair? Is it you're not hitting your numbers and your customers are not calling you back? Is it that things are just too busy and too hectic and you're not feeling that you can catch up? And I want to ask you to think about what your intention is before you go to work in the morning. Is your intention just to get through another week at this at this miserable job so that you can make it to the weekend and finally relax? Is your intention to just get through that day, find things to keep busy and look busy with the hopes that you can get out of work early and go spend the time and energy with your family? Or is your intention really to show up and use that opportunity to be all those values that you are at home? One of the things that I always say is that I think the workplace, if we really started to frame it correctly, we'd use it as boot camp to become stronger individuals so that we can leverage that at home with our families and our friends and our communities. So I always, say I think the workplace could be used as an alignment or a value-based boot camp where we get the opportunity to practice showing up and serving. We get to practice, having loving intention for all the people that work around us. And if we come at it with that kind of angle, we can actually create stronger skill sets in those camps. So I'll ask you, do you have that intention? Do you have the intention to serve? Do you have the intention to really help those around you thrive? And then in that, do your actions follow suit? I think the thing that's interesting about it is that being nice doesn't necessarily mean that you have good values. So being passionate or being committed sometimes doesn't always look nice on the outside. But when I say do your actions follow suit, are you walking into someone's office with the intent to win, or are you walking into someone's office with the intent to collaborate in a way that helps you both meet the demands of that environment. And I'll ask you, too, for food for thought, what is your intention, and how are you going to bring that into stronger action maybe in the next couple of weeks? I think raising some clarity and some awareness will help you not only improve in the work world and maybe even help you inspire other people around you to improve their intentions in the work world, but it also could really help you show up more fully in the rest of your life. So, as I like to say, I think if you can start to incorporate some of these ideas, just like I'm doing, I'm bringing my attention to them, and I'm really genuinely trying to incorporate them, I believe that's what makes a leader in motion. That being said, I want to mention, next week, I have Jean Tribute coming on, and she is I got to remember her title, but she's a vice president at one of the local universities. So I'm going to talk to her some more about what it is to manage people in a university environment, and we're going to look a little bit further into some of the practices that she uses. She's been in some of the same conferences that I've been in and has very similar belief systems around how do you manage and lead teams where there's truly a component of alignment and purpose and intention in place. So next week, we're going to talk more about that. So as I said, I thank you so much for tuning in. What I would love to ask is that each of you consider your own intentions. And if you are working in that workplace and you spot that person who really stands out with that amazing energy, one that you really think is a leader in motion, let me know. I'd love to interview them. Let's find out what they do and what makes them tick so that all of us can learn how to be more effective and more loving in the workplace. With that being said, thank you so much, and I look forward to speaking to you again next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Eastern Standard. Thanks so much. Take care.